Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme. Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event!
We are back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon. Here, as always, pulling through another episode, and it's an absolute honor to have with me today, Bart Fassbender. How's it going, Bart?
It's going all right. How about you?
I am doing good. I think you've got the probably the neatest last name of anybody I've ever interviewed.
Thank you. It's a pretty unique one.
Yeah, but that's true. That's a good thing to remember and makes you unique.
Falcon sounds pretty badass, so you got a good one too.
Yeah, I try.
Yeah.
But well, I guess starting off, I wanted to ask you about Daria and touch on that for a second because it was such a big part of the 90s culture on MTV. I was curious how you got the gig, so to say, and, you know, what your memories are working on the show.
I pretty much lucked out. I happened to be working at the studio where Daria, and then before that, Beavis and Butthead, was doing their post-production. And I spoke to one of the producers, and I said, hey, if you ever want a voice, I'd love to do it. And I thought I was offering just to step in a studio and be a student in a classroom just saying, hey! And the guy's name was Dave Relly. I gave him a recording of me doing some different voice stuff, and he passed it on and then passed along to the voice directors, and I got to audition for it. It was, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it really just was, I happened to ask the right person at the right time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It seems like sometimes, you know, when something really cool and memorable happens, it is one of those things that comes out of nowhere. You're like, wow, this is extravagant, and this is something I could remember for the rest of my life. So that's cool that you just kind of, things just fell into place for you there.
Yeah, exactly. I was
and
pretty happy.
And as far as the voice, was that, how much of that voice was yours? How much did you add to it?
I think the one that sounded most like me was Andrew Landon, Jody's father. And what happened with that was the way that the voice director worked, if they wanted you to audition, they would send you they would fax you, because it was the 90s. They would fax you part of the script, and you would record into their voicemail, and then they listened to a bunch of actors calling in with voicemail, and they chose it based on that. With Andrew Landon, they just offered me the role, and I got it on a Friday, and I read the script, and it said the only African I think Michelle Landon was the character of my wife, and it said the only African-American couple in the room, and I felt a little bit uncomfortable about what am I supposed to sound like. So when I went in on Monday for the record session, I said, I'm kind of supposed to sound like uptight me, right? And they said, yeah. So that's pretty much the closest that came to sounding like me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Some of the other characters I did was the voice of St. Patrick's Day on an episode called Depth Takes a Holiday. And for that, the direction was, we want you to sound like the Lucky Charms guy. So it was broad characters mostly.
Oh, looky there. You know,
that was it, yeah.
Your run-of-the-mill version of an Irish man.
Yeah, well, the cartoon version of a leprechaun. Yeah,
not quite what you would think someone in Ireland would sound like, but kind of your kooky cartoon version of an Irish person.
Yeah, the American version of what an Irish person sounds like.
And I'm not sure if you heard or not, I thought this was really neat, that Daria is getting rebooted around her friendship with Jody.
Yeah, somebody sent me a post on Facebook, and that's pretty cool. Nobody called me yet, but...
You never know. I mean, it could ring right now, and you might just have to hang up with me and go right into the studio. You never know.
That would be a good excuse. I'd hope you'd forgive me.
I would. I definitely would forgive you, because I think it's... You know, sometimes reboots don't do justice to the original, but if you can get the characters back, the cast members back to play the characters, and, you know, like Mike Judge, you know, being the Beavis and Butthead in 2011, I think that reboot was hilarious, and, you know, I wish it would have lasted a little longer.
Yeah, I was hoping for more from that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, something with such great quality put into it animation-wise, you know, being 2011 then, the animation was so much better than it was in 1997.
Do you think that, because I don't remember the look of the animation from the reboot, was it greatly improved? And if it was, do you think that had something to do with it not landing? Or was it just a different time and that time had passed?
I'm thinking maybe, you know, the latter. I'm thinking maybe it passed because, you know, it wasn't necessarily the crappy version that was around first off, the hand-drawn pencil version. But it's still, you know, if you look up versions, like I'm just Googling right now versions of the 2011 one, and it's just, there's almost no comparison except that, you know, the colors are maybe a little brighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, different time.
Maybe it was an excuse for MTV not to renew.
I don't know.
But going aside from the MTV and the cartoon talk, going into what you're currently doing, you're doing some what I guess is considered sound design for some pretty awesome theater work. How did all that become, get you, you know, how did you get into that?
That was also something fell in my lap. I was acting in a show that needed this sound cue, and I figured out a way to make it work. So I became the de facto sound designer on the show. And then through that got offered a gig on a sound design on a show that needed a sound designer, and spoke to the director, and I said, I've never really done this before, but I think I'd be good at it. She hired me, and my second and third show ever were off-Broadway in New York shows, which doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I
did
off-Broadway for years after that.
Wow. Yeah, I think, you know, especially when I'm sure Broadway, like entertainment or television or movies, is kind of a broad term for something. But if, you know, if you're working with major directors like James Franco and David Schwimmer, that has to be a very, very cool experience.
It was pretty cool, yeah. It did take me a couple of meetings to get pivot out of my head when I was working with David Schwimmer, but he was actually very, very cool to work with. And same with James Franco. Just a bit surreal just seeing their face 3 feet away from mine for the first time.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's always awesome when you can meet someone like that and, you know, become, even working with them, it has got to be so much just a better experience. And James Franco just seems like one out of the two that would be really cool. He just seems down to earth.
It was at a time when he was very busy with a bunch of projects, and I think that's the constant for him. And it was his first time directing theater. So it was a cool experience going through that with him for his first time, and him being involved in so many projects at the same time. It was a cool experience.
Very awesome. Yeah, that had to be awesome. Besides, you know, working with those two, what are some of your other favorite directors you've worked with in the recent past?
Oh, dude, that's a dangerous question to answer. I really do enjoy working with pretty much everybody I've ever worked with. It's always great figuring out the dynamics and what directors like working with and getting a vocabulary with them. So really it's not like, oh, this is my favorite. They're all really cool for different reasons. And being the designer that can work with a bunch of different types of directors is it's another cool challenge. And I mean that in the very best way. It's not like saying, oh, that show was very interesting. I really do mean it. I love working with directors, no matter what level or fame or not fame they are. Really, they're just people that are trying to get an idea across, and helping them do that is I like it. I dig it.
Yeah, now that I think of it, that kind of was a loaded question, because you don't really want to throw someone under the bus.
Yeah.
But that kind of makes me think about when I do conventions. I'll do like a blog post afterward, like, thank you, everybody. And if I forget one person, they're like, oh, my God, you didn't like hanging out with me. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Crap.
Lesson for life.
That is true. As far as, another thing I wanted to ask you was something I found interesting. Roadie for an 80s band, is that still something you're involved in?
No. I'm still in touch with most of the guys in the band, but no, I haven't lifted an amplifier in a bunch of years. It was a band that at first was called Sacrifice, and then changed the name to Concrete Jungle. And we toured mostly my tri-state area, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, from like 86 to 89. And I think we were number 7 on a British import list at one point. And then for all the reasons that bands break up, the band broke up.
Yeah, I remember about 10 years ago, roadieing for a local band here in Illinois, and it was such a fun experience because we weren't playing the big festivals, but, you know, the road trips and the people we met and just the experience overall was something I'll cherish forever.
Yeah, it was a great rush, you know, again, helping somebody achieve a piece of entertainment. Being a part of that, contributing to that. Yeah, and I like the music too, so that just helps.
Very, very cool. And the last question I like to ask everybody, because I think everyone should be free to promote their products and brands and what's coming up with them. So what does the future hold for Barr Fassbender? What do you got going on that you can tell people legally without being rammed into some kind of contractual murder?
I think a cool thing to plug, I have one show running right now called Million Dollar Quartet at Bucks County Playhouse in New Hope, Pennsylvania. And it's a really great show. And in October, we'll be doing the Rocky Horror Show there, which is really a wild thing. But for more nationwide kind of plug, I did sound design for a podcast called Steal the Stars, written by Mac Rogers. And I'm really proud of that. And it's something that I like that anybody who just heard me say that could look it up and give it a listen. It's a 14-episode podcast series, and you can download it from iTunes. It's the first plug I ever did. I've never plugged anything before.
Well, I always think, you know, if someone's even like, well, I'll be down there at the flea market next week selling my promo pictures, yeah, that's still, you might make $5, and we might hear you go, I want to go down and meet that guy. So, if it helps.
Steal the Stars, written by Mac Rogers, available on iTunes.
See, there you go. you can record promos for people. Your voice is fanatic, man. I love it.
Oh, thanks.
But, thank you so very much for joining me. And, of course people should be able to plug what they got going on. It's not all about me. It's all about who I'm interviewing, so. Yes, the plugs are free, and I'm willing to give them away, sir.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks so much for joining me, Bart. Enjoy the rest of your day, and best of luck in your future productions and, of course, in Rocky Horror, because it's an iconic brand.
It's crazy. Thanks a lot. Good talking with you.
You too, sir. Thanks a lot. Have a great night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Alrighty, big thanks to Bart Fassbender for joining me today on Cloverleaf Radio. If anybody happened to catch Facebook last night, I did a live show. I haven't done one in a couple of months, maybe. But I do really like doing the Facebook Live video shows and running my hands around a bunch because I'm one of those people that talks a lot with his hands. And he's into what he's talking about. So thanks for watching that. I got some great comments. It's always nice making people laugh and talk with people and having a good time doing it. Coming up, we are going to be back August 20th. That's actually 1 week from today, it looks like. We are going to be welcoming digital 3D artist for film and television and photographer Jessica Von Medicus. She has worked on some great Nickelodeon shows in the recent past, including SpongeBob SquarePants, Turnage. I think I said that yesterday. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Paw Patrol, and Hey Arnold, the Jungle Movie. And, of course, August 21st is Season 5, Episode 9 of The Hollywood Connection. With my friends, authors, and hosts of Night Moves Radio on the Rip Network, Ariana Cherry and Josh Hannes, a.k.a. J.W. Wright. August 23rd, we're back with actress John Mack from Saw 6. She was also in Playing for Keeps with Gerard Butler, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo with that iconic Rob Schneider and Fire Twister. And August 24th, another Dark History Con interview. Murderabilia collector, host of True Crime Podcast, and the owner of the True Crime Auction House, Andrew Dodge, joining me. He is going to be one of the guests coming up at my next convention that I'll be appearing at, Dark History Con, November 16th, 17th, and 18th, 2018 at the Garden Hotel in Urbana, Illinois. I look forward to seeing everybody there. And, of course, something else to remember, SailCon 2019 is in the planning stages right now. We already got a date, 6th and 7th of September 2019 at the Cross County Mall in Mattoon. We missed 2018 due to some restructuring and stuff, but we are going to be back in 2019. And better than ever. I think it's going to be the best one yet. So look for that. And as always, catch New Hollywood Connections on the Rift Network the first and third Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/TheRift. And, of course, be sure to stay tuned to this wonderful website, blogtalkradio.com/CloverleafRadio2. Or if you want to go back to the archives from 2008 to 2016, just drop the two and you are there. All right, everyone. Thanks as always for listening. We will see you on the 20th. Okay, Von Medicus. We've worked on some great stuff for Nickelodeon, so be sure and join us then for every episode we have. Thank you, everybody, as always, for listening. Have a great night.